Welcome. We're glad you've joined us for this Hand in Hand podcast. Hand in Hand is a nonprofit organization, and we provide information, classes, training, and lots of support for parents like you. We call our approach Parenting by Connection, and it's based on the insight that you deserve good support as you parent, and every child needs lots of connection in order to thrive. We offer tools to help you foster support for yourself and connection in your family. We hope this podcast gives you exactly the kind of support you're looking for.
Welcome, everybody, for those of you who are just joining the call. And now we're in lecture mode, so we'll start. I know your time is very precious, so thank you for taking your time to think about grandparenting and for doing all the things you had to do to get onto this call. Anne and I are going to talk a little about some ideas we've had about grandparenting. I think this may be the first teleseminar on grandparenting, and so it's very exciting to be part of this. I know you all know that Hand in Hand is a nonprofit organization based in California with instructors all around the world. It was founded by Patty Whipfler in 1989. And many of you know that there's a variety of ways that Hand in Hand tries to support parents really well. Free articles, core booklets that talk about the approach, podcasts and teleseminars like this one available on the website, support groups, classes, and all sorts of things that make it, you know, easier. Hand in Hand's mission is to support parents and to help children thrive by having warm physical connection with their parents and now and with their grandparents. And one of the things we believe is that when people have what we call off-track behaviors, because people feel disconnected and stressed, and that's true of both parents and children. So, again, thank you for joining the call. My name is Emmy Rainwalker. I live in Boston, Massachusetts. I am a therapist by trade and a parenting educator, and I'm very happy to be doing this. Anne, you want to?
Yeah. Thanks, Emmy. Hi, everyone. I'm glad you're here as well. My name's Anne Heffron. I'm the founder and director of an organization called Community Transformations. It's a not-for-profit whose mission is to deliver Parenting by Connection in Australia. And we're physically based in Adelaide in South Australia. I'm also a certified instructor and a trainer of Parenting by Connection. And I thought I'd like to lead into this talk, into my talk, with just a few quotes that have been made about grandparents that I think illustrate well something about grandparents. So here we go. There's four of them. There's one from Alex Haley. Nobody can do for little children what grandparents do. Grandparents sort of sprinkle stardust over the lives of little children. And this one from Rudolph Giuliani, the once mayor of New York. What children need most are the essentials that grandparents provide in abundance. They give unconditional love, kindness, patience, humour, comfort, and lessons in life. Here's another one. Grandma made you feel she had been waiting to see just you all day, and now the day was complete. Marcy DeMarie, and I know that. I see that on my granddaughter's face and the difference it makes to her. Here's one from Ogden Nash, the poet that I really love. When grandparents enter the door, discipline flies out the window. So you're needed. You're needed by your grandchildren, but also by their parents. And I think that those quotes illustrate the loving connection that grandparents so often provide for grandchildren. You know already something about, and some of you, a lot about parenting by connection, this approach. And we know that connection is vital to children's well-being and their development. Their brains, their all-round intelligence, social, emotional, creative, and academic, literally can't develop without connection. And this is what grandparents so often are able to provide in abundance for children. So when we spend that relaxed time with them, when we join them in playing what they want us to play, you know, come on, Nanny, come on, Pa. When we're happy to help, and when we let them help us, I know my granddaughter loves to help me unload the dishwasher and all sorts of things. And when we respond to them with kindness, what we're doing is we're helping to nurture them with the vital ingredients that they need for healthy development of their minds in childhood and through to adolescence and adulthood. Parents see this and instinctively intuit the difference connection between you is making, and they value it. They value what you provide because they want the best for their children and because they simply can't provide all the connection their children need and deserve. No parent can manage that in our current society, in which there's such a lack of adequate support for the job of parenting. So your relationship with your grandchild or your grandchildren lightens the load of over-responsibility for children that society places on parents currently. And this is generally, it isn't lost on them, even if they don't tell you so. And unless we're taking a primary role with children, and some grandparents are actually parenting children, what enables us to have this wonderful effect in children's lives is that we are no longer saddled with the societal mistreatment of parents that parents are saddled with. That lack of recognition for the work that parenting entails, the lack of pay for the most important job that there is in society, the lack of downtime, and the minimal time that parents have for reflection generally. And we call this parent suppression. So that wonderful relaxed attention for grandchildren that we have just wouldn't be possible if we had the pressure or the pressures of primary responsibility or that 24-hour day responsibility for children. I think we're just so much less pulled in general to use control over children as grandparents. Instead, we find ourselves able to offer children our connection so much more than we were able to do or to manage as parents. And becoming a grandparent gave me a really important insight into how parenting would have been if the responsibilities of parenting hadn't been so onerous and I'd had more support, a lot more support. I mean, I was teaching parenting classes. I was teaching parenting by connection, it was called listening to children, or I called it listening to children back then. And I was teaching people about the mistreatment of parents and the trivialisation of parenting. But, you know, when I became a grandparent, I really got it. I could see back there. I think in the middle of it, it is hard to see because the oppression is so tight and so heavy. But I've gotten to see how parenting would be if, as a society, we decided to organise enough resource for the job. And like all parents, I did the very best I could, but I nevertheless have a very heartfelt wish that I could have responded to my daughter like I do my granddaughter. I'm sure she does too. Well, I know she does. And I'm so much more attentive, I'm easier going, I'm fun, I'm understanding, you know, I'm patient. And I'm able to show authentically that I'm deeply interested in my granddaughter as a person. And I see that around me she gets to relax, she just gets to be herself, and she gets to show herself. She doesn't have to be anything else but Sophie Rose. It's very rewarding for me to witness how key this is for her, and how it's providing an indispensable foundation for her life, for her in her life now, and on into adolescence and adulthood. So my attention span for her is really something, but it's on a short-term basis. You know, it's mostly on the kind of basis, you know, that I want more. You know, I'm not often in the place where I go, gosh, I just need a break. But that does happen to me. And just recently it did, and I had a reminder of what it's like to feel parent suppression, that tremendous under-resourcing of the work. I had my daughter and my granddaughter staying with me for I think it was 5 days or more, and I decided that I was going to do the bulk of taking care of Sophie Rose along with cooking, cleaning, shopping, because I really wanted to give my daughter some downtime, and I love having them, and it was great to, you know, be a family together in the same, you know, household. And so I started out very enthusiastically, something like I started out parenting my daughter in the very early days of parenting. But after a few days, I could feel the resentment, you know, like setting in and rising in me. You know, how could my daughter spend so long on Facebook? I get irritated, you know, and the truth be known, she actually hardly ever gets a moment to get on Facebook to catch up with friends that way. And, you know, that's what young people do, or young to me, she's in her 30s. that's how they catch up with friends, or you know, see what friends photos. When I realised that, I was glad to give her that time. But you know, it's hard work. There I was parenting again, as well as grandparenting. And I love having my granddaughter around, my Sophie Rose, to do things with me. Like, she's a gem. It's a real treat. We unload the dishwasher together. I appreciate her. I tell her what a great job she's doing. I loved it all, but I did also start to feel overwhelmed. You know, I had all the work and I was paying this lovely attention to her at the same time and making everything enjoyable and buddying up with her. I just, because she shines, you know, when I do that, and I love to see it. But at one point, I needed to go to the bathroom, and I thought, oh, great, you know, I'm going to get a moment or two to myself and just to have my own thoughts and not have to pay attention to another person or think about them just for a couple of ticks. So I do admit I snuck off, which I wouldn't usually do. But no, I'd no sooner shut the door when I heard the patter of shoes. Nanny, you in there? Nanny, I've got something important to tell you. It's really important, Nanny. Nanny, what are you doing? Are you doing a... And it was so sweet. And, you know, I took this deep, silent sigh. I didn't let her hear it. You know, not even a moment. But I was also smiling. I don't know how long I could have kept smiling. I know that I didn't as a parent. I couldn't keep that up. But the parents in the parenting courses that I teach flash through my mind. And, you know, when I ask them what's a good thing and a hard thing about parenting, we start out in the first class like that. And the hard thing they say is, just getting enough time to myself to even have a shower or go to the toilet in damn peace. And my own time parenting flashed through my mind too. And I got some refreshed understanding and insight about what's happening in my daughter's mind. And when she's, you know, she's had enough, she's frustrated, she doesn't have attention, or she goes off track with her daughter. And, you know, in those moments, the judgment and the frustration that was kind of building about that began to lose its claim on my mind, and I resolved that I'd spend some time thinking about how to be a better, more thoughtful ally and perhaps not be so frustrated. And in getting what we call, what you all probably know about, which is great, some listening time for me on getting to that. I could tell that that's what I needed. And just to put those feelings aside for now, if I could. Parenting is a big and complex and time-consuming and deeply challenging job that is seriously under-resourced. As a society, we just haven't a perspective on how much resource it actually takes to nurture a child or the challenges parents are up against. I mean, even for people who are well off financially, parenting is a daily emotional and intellectual challenge. We can't avoid that with parenting. We leave the job to just one or two people who love deeply and who don't have the support and the resources they need to do the job, who are often facing worries about financial security in a society that's increasingly insecure and that places expectations on them to have everything looking good, in hand, you know, moving ahead. And firstly, because the job is so under-resourced, parents are set up for a certain amount of, this is in inverted commas, failure. It's not failure, of course. Any person can only do whatever they can do with the resources they have at hand, and parents work really hard to, you know, doing their very, very best. But parents feel this way. They feel like they're failing, and they do take it hard. And when the job is trivialised, and because the job's trivialised, when it's trivialised all the time, parents feel that they should be able to nevertheless do it all. Sorry, that came out wrong. Because the job's trivialised, parents feel like they should be able to do it all, and when in fact they can't possibly do it all. And that's why we have something called the Parents' Commitment. If you haven't heard it, you may well have. But it starts out like this. And I often use this with parents in my parenting classes when I can see them struggling with a sense of I'm not a good enough parent, I'm a failure. It goes, I promise to remember always that I am a good parent. And when I'm listening to a parent in a group whose turn it is to be listened to by everyone, they inevitably do this. They run over the good and they say, I promise to remember always, yeah, I'm a good parent. And I bring them back, you know, and I say, good parent. You know, that's what brings the tears, the emotional release. So I think it's part of the internalized depression of parents to just say, yep, good parent, run over the top of it. So how best to be an ally to a parent and a grandchild? I just want to make a few pointers, and then Emmy's going to talk. Well, you could use the parent's commitment and substitute grandparent. I promise to remember always that I am a good grandparent. You could perhaps remember that and have listening time on that in your listening partnerships or support groups. You could find your own words. I promise to remember always that I'm important, that my role is valuable. Keep in mind that the parent's commitment, and what that means is also that parents long for deeply connected times with their children, that they, you know, don't often, if ever, get to express, and it's there constantly. Remember that if you have an easy relationship with your grandchild or grandchildren, this can be both wonderful and also hard at the same time for the parent or the parents. Having people who are family, who love and care for the ones they love so deeply, fills their hearts with warmth. They see how important you are to their children, and they want to give their children the best things that life can offer, and you're one of them. At the same time, it can be hard for a parent to see the ease with which you can relate. It's how they'd like to be more often. They're being cheated, not by you, but by society. And parents already feel bad about their parenting, as I said, and they feel judged. It's helpful to parents for you to show appreciation of their parenting in various ways, appreciate them, appreciate their child or children and their parenting. When parents can tell that they're respected and appreciated by the grandparent, it really helps them to feel good and secure about the closeness in the grandparent-grandchild relationship, you know, rather than sort of counters that sense of insecurity or being judged. One thing I've been keeping in the front of my mind lately, it's only a little thing, well, it's not so little, is that when my daughter and granddaughter arrive at my front door, and, you know, the bell rings about 10 times, and I go, you know, who could that be ringing my doorbell so many times? You know, and I open the door, and my granddaughter throws herself at me, nanny, nanny. And I've been remembering to greet my parent, my daughter, too, you know, greet her as well. And also in a way that shows to her that I've been waiting for just her all day too, not just Sophie Rose. And I have, of course. And I think keep in mind the love that the parent has for the child, and the times that they do spend connected and well connected, the times you see them doing that and the ones that you don't. We don't always see that connection. And also, you know, from the outside, when a parent goes off track, it can be easy for us to see what's happening and to have a perspective that the parent is tightly wound, can't think, is reacting, going down an old, well-worn path, and it's not going to work again, and to be able to see what they might do. But that's not the time for unsolicited advice, because it's just not helpful. It adds another pressure on the parent's mind. So instead, I think, you know, I try to keep in mind that my daughter's doing the very best she can under the circumstances. And that doesn't always mean standing back. You know, I've been trying to figure out how to be helpful in those circumstances. Sometimes it makes sense to stand back. At others, it's good to be, you know, thinking about how to best be a good ally. And trying to find a thoughtful way to help. And it will be appreciated. I see when I'm thoughtful, when I help, that it is appreciated and it does work. But it's challenging in close relationships to step in and help. We tend to get stuck in the old ruts in our relationships, and we find ourselves going down well-worn paths as well. Emmy's going to talk a bit more about that soon in a really elegant way. Those old tracks we tend to go down in our relationships also, they may play out in different ways for us as grandparents. You know, it's not always that our, you know, our the parent of our grandchild or grandchildren is being tight. It could be us. It may be that the parent is trying a more permissive approach to child rearing, or what might feel to a grandparent like a more permissive approach than they used. And this can raise uncomfortable feelings that the parent should be firmer. And this, I experience this with parents in the many classes I teach. That, you know, they're trying parenting by connection, and it is a challenge for their parents. So, parents, just a couple more things. Parents get isolated without support. And as we know, there's not a lot of support. So if you can, listen to how things are going, do it without giving advice and without drawing attention back to you. You don't need to fix anything, just give you good attention. You may all know, if you don't, there's a listening partnership booklet that provides the most excellent guides to listening well, written by Patty Whitzler, and it's on the Hand in Hand website. Also, Emmy has a Building Emotional Understanding course coming up that she's going to speak about, and she'll be teaching that online. So a great, you know, a great support to supporting parents. If you're a grandparent taking that course. Offer practical help if you can, but there again, we probably have some sticking points in our relationships. I remember that my mum, she was very generous, coming around to help with the housework, and she'd start off offering advice about how I could keep on top of things better, and that sure got a rise out of me. I knew it wasn't her fault, though. She'd been heavily criticised as a child. I'd figured that out. I knew that. I'd had some good information. And she'd had high expectations, I also figured out, placed on her as a child. But it did bring up the criticism that she tried not to pass on to me as a child, but did, and through no fault of her own. And I wondered at times whether it was worth having her at my house to help. but I also knew that she felt really full-hearted about it. She wanted to see me. She really cared about doing that, and she really wanted to do good. So I was the one there who got the listening time. But, I think as grandparents helping parents, it's good to keep those things in mind. And, you know, if you know to take some listening time, well, that's a powerful tool for resolving that, or getting those things out the way, offloading our tension so that we can be freer of it in our minds to be the generous helpers we want to. She just got lost, my mother did, in the midst of helping and just didn't have any place to reflect or offload her frustrations. Give parents some time out if you can, because when they've got a relaxed mind, like we get to have if we just have our grandchildren sometimes, it's so much easier, as we know, to connect with a child, and that's a treasure for them, just as it is for us when we're with our grandchildren with a relaxed mind. And lastly, get good support for you. You're still a parent. The challenges of parenting go on with our adult children. We continue to aim for those relationships to be all they can be. So I'm going to plug Emmy's upcoming Building Emotional Understanding course again. She's got a very deep understanding of the grandparent-parent relationship and how to use parenting by connection to build them. She's had lots of meaningful experience using parenting by connection in this way in her own life to share with you. And having said that, thanks for listening to me, taking this time with me, and it's over to Emmy.
Okay. Thank you, Anne. I know each of us on this call has a different and unique situation. My own, I have 5 grandchildren. 2 of them live 3 hours away. 1 of them lives in Germany, and 2 of them live in Guatemala. So I don't see them as part of my everyday life. But I want to talk, Anne talked about how parents are oppressed, how the society makes it difficult for parents. I want to talk also about how the society makes it different for grandparents. I want to start by telling you that the research I've been reading lately says that when grandparents take parenting courses and learn new parenting skills, it actually has a larger effect on the family than when parents take them. And I think this is because we're sort of at the top of the food chain. We are the elders, and our relationships are multiple, and we can use these skills with our children and our grandchildren, and we have more slack, as Anne pointed out. But we are often trivialized. We're trivialized in the media. Yesterday I was driving and I stopped to let a person cross the street, a young woman cross the street, and she looked at me and she yelled out, "Thanks, old lady!" And I didn't know whether to laugh or cry, but you know, we live in a society which can give a very false picture of our value. We're pictured sometimes as cute and incidental, the spoilers, or intrusive and critical. But it's very demanding and important work to be with children, and as grandparents, we are and always appreciated for it. We put our heart and soul into it. We love our children and our grandchildren. Another thing that can be hard for us is that many of us are elders, and we face worries about our health, about our finances, about continuing to have the energy to do the things we want or that our families need from us. When my oldest grandson was smaller, we developed a game when we were together when we were walking of racing, and one of us would say, race you to that red bicycle down there, you know, and we'd run it. And at first, of course, I had to pretend I was running so he could win, and then it got to be that he and I could run about the same speed, and then I had to really work hard just barely to keep up with him, and then I had hip replacement surgery, and I couldn't come near running with him, and it was such a loss for me. You know, I changed the game and made it fun in a different way. I changed the game to, all right, I have a stopwatch here. Let's see how fast you can run to the red bicycle and back. And now let's see if you could beat your time. But it was a loss for me, you know, that way that I could be with him before. And I noticed just sometimes carrying the 3-year-old or the 4-year-old up the stairs to the bed, I get pretty winded in a way that I didn't when my children were small. So it's different, and it's worrisome sometimes. And one of the stresses for many of us grandparents is that as the economics of parenting tightens up, we're called upon to help more and more with time, with money. Some of us are regular caregivers and actually are being the parents. You know, my son recently asked me for help paying for his son's braces since he lost a big portion of his income and things are tight for him. And I know it was very hard for him to do this. And it, you know, my husband and I discussed it and we're not sure we can do it, and we know how hard it would be to say no to this request. So, you know, we want to help so much that often we find ourselves agreeing to do things that may not be good for us or in our own best interest. It becomes very confusing, and we sometimes become overburdened ourselves as we were when we were parents, you know, yet again. And it often doesn't look like there's any way out of that because there's so much need. We offer so much experience and enthusiasm and attention. And I hear over and over from grandparents how, you know, when you see your grandchild, your heart just flies open. And I was noticing that, and I was noticing that my heart didn't fly open in the same way when I saw my children. And I thought, I wonder if I could change that. So I made a decision at some point that every time I saw one of my two sons, I would just sort of beam at them and say how happy I was to see them. And I noticed after a while, at first they looked kind of suspicious at me because they were used to me looking at them and sort of looking for problems. Have they gotten enough sleep? Are they doing okay? And they were confused at first, but when they got to realize that this was real, they started beaming back at me, and I could feel my heart now opens a lot more than it used to with my children as well as my grandchildren. But, you know, we can be open-hearted and play with them and be with them, and then we don't have those everyday worries and stresses. You know, we don't have to get their teeth brushed, and we don't have to get them on the school bus on time. And so we have so much more relaxed attention for them. And then, you know, we love them and they get to go home or we get to go home and not have the stress on us. We have, most of us, unresolved tensions with our children left over from raising them. Our society offers so little support, as Anne said, for parents, and we struggled to be the best parents we could. And we live with a lot of regrets and sadnesses from the errors we feel we made or the errors our children feel we made. You know, sometimes my children are sort of annoyed with me for something, and I don't think I did anything wrong. And sometimes I think I really blew it. And a funny thing that happened is a while ago I sat down with my two sons and I said, let's have a heart-to-heart talk here. I really want to know what was hard for you having me as a mom growing up. And at first they didn't want to tell me. They just didn't want to. And I assured them that I had a listening partnership set up and that they could really tell me. I thought it was important for our relationship. And what was funny about it, they finally did tell me things. And the things they told me were things I didn't even remember having done. And the things I thought they were going to blast me with, they couldn't even remember. So I was carrying these regrets around for years that didn't have hardly anything to do with their reality. And the things that they were carrying around, I couldn't even remember. So it was really great that we cleared that up. But we have these regrets. And when we see our children struggling, you know, we feel like, oh, they're struggling because of the mistakes I made. And we may try to make it up now by loving our grandchildren more and hoping our children will notice. You know, who among us has not hoped that one of your children would come up to you and say, oh, I had no idea it was so hard, you know, and that they would just, you know, forgive you for everything. That's nice to fantasize. And then I guess sometimes it actually happens. Some little appreciation comes. But, you know, we can't expect them to appreciate us or wait for them to do that. We find at times that we disapprove of our children and how they're parenting. I know that my son was getting tense with his son, and I was getting tense with him getting tense. And it, when I noticed it, it made me laugh. You know, he was being critical and I was being critical. And we sometimes don't agree with how they're managing their lives, how they're managing their money, their career choices, how they're parenting. And at the same time, we want to be supportive. And this is sometimes like walking a tightrope. You know, how can we tell when to intervene or give advice or information? Is it ever okay? You know, I was talking to one of my friends, and she said to me something like, when my mother-in-law listens to me and I feel like she's really caring about what I say, then I'm much more open to hearing the information she has. And she said, it's really a shame when that doesn't happen because you guys have so much experience and so much to give. But she said, I shut down when I feel like you don't appreciate me or don't think that I know what I'm doing. And so the importance here is to really not be giving them advice unsolicited, not, you know, be, of course, there are times, I guess, where things are dangerous and you have to, but those are very rare. Most of the time, you know, they're not. And we just need to kind of trust them. You know, my son was visiting with his wife, and they use a what we call a pacifier here in the U.S. I guess it has other names. It has a lot of funny names, those little things that you plug into children's mouths, and I don't like them. And I was with a friend babysitting my little grandson, and he was crying, and I went through the little ritual that my children told me that they would like me to use. Checked to see if he was thirsty by giving him a bottle. Then I, you know, held him and talked to him. And he was fussy, so I put this little pacifier in his mouth. And it was interesting because my friend said, why are you doing that? His parents aren't even here, and I know you don't like to give children those things. And I said, you know, this is how they parent. This is their choice. It is. I don't like to use it, but they're the parents, and they make the decision. And I felt like it was just a way for me to be respectful of them, you know, and know that so they could really trust that I respected them. So
the other thing is they sometimes disapprove of us and resent us. And I've heard some grandparents say that their children resent the relationship that they have with their grandchildren because it's sweet and relaxed and they don't have that. Or they may not like the way we either, you know, discipline or don't discipline their children. And that's why it's really, I think, important to try to have those conversations as awkward as they are. And these skills we teach at Hand in Hand are so useful. Play listening, as you know, is a skill which puts the young people in charge of the play and allows them to feel strong and powerful. It's so wonderful to see their faces so alive and excited when they get to decide on how the play is going to go and how their confidence grows. You know, my husband and I were babysitting our 3- and 4-year-old grandsons, and we were supposed to be putting them to bed, and they wouldn't settle down, and they were jumping and running and fighting, and we sat on the couch and we played a game with them, and we got them to sit on us, and then we would sit on them, and they would push us off the couch, and we would fall on the couch, and we tried to rescue each other from their clutches with no success. It was a rollicking game full of screeching, and it went on for a long time, like 20 minutes to a half hour. And after that, we gave them piggyback rides, and we read them to sleep, and we were so tired when that was over, we went to bed shortly after they did. But that's the play listening skill, and it just gave them confidence and connection, and they fell into a deep sleep. It's funny because the next morning, my son-in-law announced to us that he was so surprised that the children woke up in such a good mood, and he just couldn't understand why that was. And we kind of chuckled because we knew it was because they had had this rollicking, connected, you know, roughhousing before they went to bed. We live in a society which does not encourage the expression of emotions and which expects parents to keep children under control. I was on a train recently with my 4-month-old grandson and his mother, and she was holding the baby, and he began to cry. And, you know, she checked to see if he wanted to be fed. She tried the pacifier, and he just spit it out. So that was a signal to her that he just needed to be listened to. So she was paying attention to him, and he was crying hard. We had been in the museum all day. He was tired. And I watched people on the train getting more and more nervous. One woman came up to us and insisted on helping us figure out why he was crying so we could stop him. And I explained we had had a long day. He was fine. He was just complaining. And she became more and more vocal. And I actually had to get a little strident with her and told her to please. We had it under control. But I had this kind of fantasy that people in the train were going to rise up and say, shut that baby up, and I was going to have to protect them, you know, which fortunately didn't come to that. But, you know, I've seen babies crying on airplanes and had babies crying on airplanes, and it can get so tense, and people can get, you know, their blood pressure just goes up. And so this skill of stay listening is really important, and that's another thing. You know, it takes practice. I often say that listening is a muscle, and you have to practice it, you know. So that's what my daughter-in-law was doing. She was stay listening, and this means developing this stamina to listen when people are stressed or hurt or angry, letting them know we're there. And in order to do this well, sometimes requires this other skill that we learn in Hand in Hand of setting limits. We know everyone has been with a young person who has tried to hit another young person over the head with a toy or pull the cat's tail, and we learn how to stop them without blaming or yelling. It's an incredibly empowering tool. You know, we don't want to hit them, and sometimes people are told not to hit children, but there isn't another skill in there that they can do to feel powerful. So learning and using these tools makes such a difference, not only with our grandchildren, but also with our children, you know, listening to them. And I remember my parents were very upset with me that I was breastfeeding my baby, and they just were so critical of me, and they just didn't listen to me and ask me, you know, why I made those choices and why it was important to me.
would have made a big difference if they had. So it's important to remember that our children love us. They need to figure out how to be parents. They need to figure out on their own. They may be willing to listen to our point of view if they feel they can trust us, but they may not. And spending time listening to them, accepting their feelings without criticizing them, can pay off with more trust. And finding times to nurture our relationship with our own children may not be easy, given the differences in opinions, the old tensions, the mistrust, the busyness, the schedules. But I do believe our children really still want us close, even if they don't show it. And it's hard to appreciate their hard work as parents and their struggles as parents. It may be awkward and uncomfortable, but it means a great deal to them to have our support and approval. So what do you do with the feelings when you don't want to criticize them? And so the very important skill that we know is called listening partnerships. This is where we just listen to each other. And as grandparents, it's really good to find someone who can listen to me talk about my regrets and the things I wish I had done better. It's been wonderful to do this teleseminar with Anne, because we've had opportunities to do some listening partnership, and it's just wonderful. I think it loosens up the bindings on my heart when I can unload some of my concerns, and someone, I feel like someone is really just listening to me with attention and not judging me. And it's good to try to, it's not easy to set those up, but it's really important. So, we're vital members of our families, and we continue to learn about love and relationships, and the fact that you're on this call shows that in spades, and I really thank you for listening. So, Anne, questions and answers?
Yes, we'll do questions and answers. So I think it's if you have a comment, or if you have a question, if you could press *2, that will put your hand up, raise your hand, and we will unmute you, and one of us will address your question. We answered all your questions. Nobody. How's that, Emmy?
Yeah, well, let's just give it a minute.
I'll
if you have a question, *2 on your phone.
Okay, and then Kathy.
Or,
Grace,
if you just have a story you want to share with us, we'd love to hear one of your stories about your children and your grandchildren.
That's a good idea. That's a great idea. So I'm going to unmute Amir, and here we go. Well, I'm going to try, Amir. Give me a moment.
Yeah. The traditional role of parents has been what one of you, I think it was Anne, who described it. When the grandparents come in, the discipline goes out of the window. That seems to be the cliche and the traditional way of looking at grandparents. Mm-hmm. However, my wife and I, who are both grandparents since 2009, do not have that role necessarily. The role we have is 24/7 at your service. It started in 2009 with one. Today we have three from the same child of ours. And at times, I feel that my role is not exactly a grandfather, but it's a co-parenting.
Absolutely, Amir. Yeah.
And I'm not really having a question, but I'm just making a comment to the fact that all relationship between grandparents and grandchildren are necessarily you come in with love and discipline goes out. We are there every single day of the year, regardless of what the day is called. And we do the best we can. And yes, like your website said, at times I am disappointed that my advice is not taken or it's ignored, it's taken lightly. However, there are times that later I come in to find out that some of them were actually exercised.
Uh-huh.
Terrific. Yeah. And you, Mia, you are in that circumstance. You know, you're a parent, really. Like you said, you're a co-parent, and it's a different situation to being a grandparent. You know, you're experiencing that, you know, that constant, you know, very ongoing responsibility, and it's, yeah, it creates tension. It's a big challenge for us. Thank you for doing what you're doing. It's, you know, it's wonderful. I'm glad that some of your suggestions are taken up.
Yeah.
Do you want to add anything?
It's our pleasure to do it.
Ah, that's wonderful. So lovely to hear.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting to remember that you may get resistance at first to an idea, but you know, some of it sinks in, and sometimes, you know, people do think about things later, even if they resist at first or don't seem to notice at first. That's very true. Yeah, thank you,
Mia. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that with us. Yeah, wonderful. I'm sure that's very valuable for everybody. We're going to go to Kathy now. I'm going to unmute Kathy. I'm going to try, Kathy. Just give me a moment. This is new to me. But I think this will work. Just half a minute. A few seconds, really.
Yeah.
There we go. Kathy.
I'm there. Okay. Well, I'm another one in the category of the grandparent raising the grandchild.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's pretty complicated and rich and rewarding. I'll have to say that. But as I'm listening to the story about what it's like to truly be a grandparent, I have to say I'm slightly resentful. I would love to. I'd love to have little spots of time sometimes so that I could be the fun grandparent. And I don't always get to be that. But I'm, you know, it's when I was raising my daughter, I was very aiming for the connected parenting thing, even though, you know, 25 years ago there wasn't a whole lot of information. And it has been disheartening to me that I tried so hard, and it was the extended breastfeeding and the co-sleeping and the, you know, the trying to change the abusive patterns in the family. And then yet we still struggle, and my daughter seems to want to swing things back around 180 degrees and tells me that I spoil my grandson when I'm really just trying to really listen and understand and guide and, you know, like, so that there's a lot on my plate, and I don't know. I just, if you want to speak to that a little bit, and I also do want to say that just being on this call, there's just so much support and validation in that, and speaking to all the different bits of it, that I'm just so happy that we're in this new generation of having this kind of information.
Yeah,
it's amazing. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Emmy, do you want to take that one?
It's an interesting situation, and more grandparents are stepping up to the plate as actual, you know, primary caregivers. And I know that one of my sons has vastly different, you know, political ideas from mine. It's interesting. What's hard for me to do is to just listen to him and say, tell me more about that. I imagine that, you know, you probably don't get that much time if you're raising a young one, but I wonder what would happen if you were able to if you pick one of these things that your daughter disagrees with you about and just listen and say, tell me, I really want to understand your point of view here, and just listen to her. Without, you know, I just wonder what, maybe you've already tried to do that. Have you had any success with them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to some degree, but that is as I've been hearing you talk about that tonight, it just helps me recommit to being a better listener. I think she was a high need baby, and, you know, I think it was more difficult for me, to really feel open with her than it is with my grandson. He's just such a, going, you know.
Yeah.
And so I know that there's definitely some work that needs to be done around that.
And you may have to get some listening yourself in order to get yourself prepared. I know when I told that story about, you know, sitting down with my children, I had a lot of listening partnerships in preparation for that. And I just set it up.
More than one. Good for you.
Yeah. And, you know, it took a lot, but, So, you know, prepare yourself for it by getting listening to, by, you know, talking about how frustrated you get with your daughter. You know, blow that out in a listening partnership if you can.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
We deserve lots of listening to, on those relationships, I think. Need and deserve.
Yeah. It's very hard to listen to somebody when they're sort of disagreeing with you and, you know.
Oh. You know. That's my hardest challenge.
Yes.
Especially with one, a dear one, you know, and one who I have very strong feelings of, you know, like, well, leftover guilt, you know, where I didn't do the good job and I didn't do as well as I wanted to, and I haven't helped her to heal from the hurts that I couldn't protect her from. It's so much harder to listen. And I've been, actually, it's been great doing this teleseminar. And thinking about this, and also particularly listening to Emmy and her perspective, because it's given me a really renewed kind of inspiration to go back and to take listening time on the early days and the birth of my daughter, because you know, I know that some of the sticky places in our relationship that get so tight, where we don't, you know, get past very easily. That's where it is, and I could free it up. But it will take considerable, you know, commitment and work. Okay, Emmy, would you, I don't know, I'm going to let Emmy take the next decide.
You know, I can't see any of the hands go up, so if you could, is there another?
Yeah, there is.
Good. Okay, well, who is it?
We just had someone leave the call, but it was Ariella, I think,
okay, can you unmute her?
We have Kathy. Do you want me? Oh, no, sorry, that was Kathy. We've got, is it Lena? Hang on, I'm going to unmute Lena. And hopefully she'll stay there and has the time. And we're just about there, Emmy.
Lena?
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi. Hi, how are you?
Good. Are you calling from Mexico?
From Mexico, right. Yes.
Oh, welcome.
I'm calling from Mexico. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, well, no, I'm just calling to make a story, to tell you a story about myself. I have three grandchildren, and they all live quite a distance from me. They both live in South America. One lives in Argentina, and the other two live in Brazil. So it's really hard, you know, to make, to create a good relationship with them. I have an excellent relationship with my daughter, and she lives in Argentina with my little granddaughter. She's 4 and a half. And I see her often on Skype and talk to her very, very often. But my problem is more like with my son's children. It's he has a little girl who is 4 and a little boy who was just turned 1. Besides the fact the language is different because they speak Portuguese, my relationship with my son's wife. It's not like if I'm fighting with her or anything, but there is just no relationship actually with her.
Yeah.
And so when I do get to go to Brazil and be with my grandchildren, it's like I have to always walk on eggshell, because I don't want to disrespect her, and I feel like anything I do might not be happy with, you know. And my last trip to Brazil, I was really upset at one point. I didn't ever say anything to her because I don't know her that well in the first place. In the second place, it was just like, okay, she made that decision and I have to respect it because she's the mother.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm an excellent swimmer, and I wanted to take my granddaughter into their swim. They have a swimming pool in their home, and I wanted to take her into the swimming pool. It's not a deep swimming pool, and it's not a big swimming pool either. And she called me on the phone. She was at work. She called me on the phone and she said, no, no way. You're not going to put her in the pool because I'm always afraid of pools. And I said, I can understand you're afraid of pools. But I mean, I'm here. My husband is here. My daughter was there. The two nannies were there. It was like surrounded by adults. And I mean, I certainly wasn't going to lose track of my granddaughter.
Yeah.
And I felt hurt. I felt very, very hurt.
Sure.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just like really hard to be a grandparent with, when your grandchildren are so far away because you love them so dearly.
Yeah. And then you just want to do something like have a lovely swim with them and play in the pool.
Right.
And that becomes not possible. I know. And
so,
it's very hard when the parents' fears, you know, get in the way. Any?
Yeah, I run across this too with my daughter-in-law, they just, you know, when we roughhouse, she gets very, very upset because she says, you know, she doesn't want to do it with them. And she said, one day she said, you know, well then, I said, well what is it about that you don't like? And she said, because then they want to do it with me. And I sort of had to really back off there and say, oh, I'm so sorry, you know, I didn't mean to make it hard for you. The thing about the feeling hurt, of course you feel hurt, and that's exactly, I don't know if you have a chance to have listening partnerships, but that's heartbreaking, and if you could just have a chance to let your heart break, you know, in the arms of someone who can just let you cry about it, it may make you a little more immune eventually to feeling hurt. And then if you don't feel hurt, you can be more relaxed around her. And it sounds like she has a lot of tension. And the more relaxed you are around her, that's, you know, nothing may work. But if anything is going to work, it's going to be trying to get yourself more relaxed around her and more accepting of her. There's not much else, you know, that you can do, but take time to let your own heart really break about that.
Yeah.
Trust you will have a relationship with your grandchildren in time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I certainly hope so because I mean, I love my children so much that I just wouldn't want to be far away from them emotionally because of, you know, not being able to get along with their own children, and of course, that I work on every single day. So thank you.
Thank you. I think that's about time, Ian.
I think it is.
It's been wonderful. So you want to close?
I'm going to close. Yeah. We have reached the end of the hour. We did well. We started at 12:33. I'm in Australia, in Adelaide. Sorry, everyone. So we need to close the call. Thank you so much for being here on this call, and thanks very much for your, you know, your comments and your questions. They were just great. And I think, you know, they really helped to round out the whole tele-seminar as well.
Yeah.
You think so too, Annie?
Yes, definitely.
Good. Yeah, so we hope that you've enjoyed the tele-seminar and that it was rounded out enough for you. We obviously couldn't cover everything, so thanks for the questions and comments. And we've certainly, I know I've enjoyed giving it. I'm sure Emmy has too.
Oh, it's been wonderful, yeah.
so I just want to do a brief overview of Hand in Hand's offerings. We have a few more tele-seminars coming up, so if you check the website, www.handinhandparenting.org, you can find out about those free tele-seminars. There's some great ones coming up. I should say more great ones. We also have available other free resources, including the monthly newsletter and many, many articles, the membership to a free Yahoo discussion group, very useful. And if you want to learn these skills more deeply and you're not already, we have an instructor-led six-week-long class. It's called Building Emotional Understanding, and it's the signature class. It gets great reviews, and it really is the best way to learn about this approach. The classes are small, and you get plenty of personalised attention. And Emmy, would you like to say the date that you're online?
I'm going to be starting a six-week class, Building Emotional Understanding, on February 25th. It's going to be, I believe, in the morning, Eastern time. Look at the website, and it should be listed soon. And there are others listed already that are going to start sooner than that.
That's great. And I've put my hand up to teach one as well. That hasn't been scheduled yet, but, yeah. So more scheduled on the Hand in Hand website if you keep checking. Or you could register interest and they'll let you know. If you're looking for an even more personalised attention and for a hard issue that you've got that you're trying to resolve, we offer one-on-one consultations with experienced instructors. There's also self-paced, self-guided courses from the Parent Rescue Series, and three of them are No More Hitting, Setting Limits and Building Cooperation, and How to Help Your Child with Sleep. And lastly, there is actually more, but there's also a professionals intensive course for professionals like therapists and nurses, and you can find information about those on the website as well under Work with an Expert, and then go to Intensives and Retreats. And very lastly, Hand in Hand, once again, I'll highlight, is a not-for-profit organisation that depends on your donation to provide free services like this parenting call, the many articles on the website, free parent discussion group, scholarships for classes, and instructor training, so that there's more people teaching the Building Emotional Understanding and other programs. It's easy to donate, and any amount helps, so just on the website, just click on the donate button and give whatever you can. And, you know, together we can support parents everywhere. So thanks, everybody. We're going to close the call. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much, everyone. It's been a pleasure. And thank you, Anne. It's lovely to do this with you.
Oh, you too, Emmy. And good night, good afternoon, whatever it is, wherever you are.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us. Hand in Hand is here to help you get the support you need for your work as a parent. To download podcasts on additional parenting topics, go to handinhandparenting.org/store. We look forward to connecting with you again soon.